Adipurusham.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances, all good to Srila Prabhupada. Welcome back, everyone. Again, let us all welcome our new friend, Harshkant Bhai. He's from Washington area. I've known him for 30 plus years now. He is very well read in Shastra. So, Harshkant Bhai, please excuse me if I commit any error. Please correct me. Hare Krishna. So, today we are continuing actually the third theme of our course. So, what is the course for the benefit of Harshkant Bhai? This is the course called Srila Jiva Goswami's Six Sandarbhas. This is the course in which Jiva Goswami explains the deepest essence of Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana. As we know earlier, Bhagavat Purana is not an ordinary Shastra. It is Sri Krishna himself personified. He is the literary incarnation. So to know the essence is to know the essence of how to approach Sri Krishna. So that is what Six Sandarbhas are really helping us to understand by the mercy of Srila Jiva Goswami. And as you've been experiencing yourself, such wonderful, wonderful new insights that Srila Jiva Goswami help us to understand that. Yes, it is very complex and very difficult to understand. But at the same time, by the mercy of the Lord and by the mercy of Srila Jiva Goswami, I've learned actually the technique. This is a technique. This is a science really. So it is not something special that I understood. If we learn the technique, scientific technique, then everybody can do it. So there's a distinction between art and science. Art, that means you must have something in you to be able to do it. Not everyone can do it. But science, everyone can do it if you understand the technique. So my technique is here, as I explained to you last week, to sort of lower the complexity of a subject matter to a manageable and level actually, is to really, in the essence of this technique, is to identify the dots and then connect those dots, you know. So, and I gave you an example how last week to do that is to recognize first a thematic verse actually that Jiva Goswami quotes actually. So today what I'm going to do, take you a couple step ahead for that, a couple step more towards that goal actually. Goal is to how to lower the complexity of the subject matter. So what I'm going to tell you is that first of all, what is the thematic essence? In fact, this whole entire course, as I've been doing it for last dozen years or so, these courses on our Shastra, and these are not Shastras in general, but these are Shastras which are called Bhakti Shastras, which are exclusively devoted to understand and develop devotional service, bhakti, towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So that is our goal actually. In order to understand, so what I've over the years, it is the course has evolved into give you the thematic essence actually, no? Rather than going into nitty-gritty details, and yet don't oversimplify it. So it's a balance, a fine balance between that. So first the essence of the course itself. So the course we are dealing today, in fact these days, is the second module of six Sandarbhas of Srila Jiva Goswami. First module was the Tattva Sandarbha, in which Jiva Goswami established that it is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the transcendental Purana, completely beyond the modes of material nature, and that is the perfect way, perfect means by which to understand the absolute truth, Satyam Param Dhimahi. And that Satyam, Param Satyam, the absolute truth, that absolute reality, the absolute person, that is Sri Krishna himself. How to understand him? So that is what the ultimate goal is there, you know. So here, that is the essence. So essence of the course, so this is the second module now. So in first module, Jiva Goswami demonstrated, it's the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the means by which to understand the absolute truth, which is beyond the modes of material nature, you know. So we completed that. And then we started with the second module, which is Bhagavad Sandarbha. Bhagavad Sandarbha is all about Lord Shri Krishna's the form, attributes, potencies, his associates, and so on like that. So in order to develop love for someone, you really have to know everything, all about that you can, to know that person. Then only you can develop love for him, you know. And here, that love is done, and Krishna can be understood only by bhakti process. Bhaktiya mam abhijananti. So we are learning the intricate details, intricate essence of how to develop love for Krishna, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Jiva Goswami help us to understand the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the essence of this second module, Bhagavad Sandarbha, we are learning about is the three aspect of that absolute truth, the same absolute truth, but we are looking from the three different angles of vision, Brahman and Brahma, what is the Sanskrit word is called Brahma, but in English they call Brahman. That is the impersonal feature of the absolute truth, all-pervading feature. And then Paramatma feature, which is the localized feature of the absolute truth. And that is within the hearts of every living entity and within the atoms of the entire universe, you know. And the third, which is the Bhagavan realization. The absolute truth is a person, Abhigna Swaraj, supremely conscious and supremely independent. So that is Sri Krishna. So that is what the three aspects of absolute truth. Actually, it is the worshipper, his own adhikara, his own angle of vision that allows him to these three different aspects of the same entity, there's absolute truth, Sri Krishna. So there is no difference between the Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, and yet we see it from a three different angle of the same subject, you know. So Brahman is the all pervading aspect, which is undifferentiated, and Paramatma, Bhagavan, Paramatma is the external potency and the super soul aspect of it, Paramatma aspect of it. Bhagavan is the complete realization. So that is what we saw in the first theme of the course, Bhagavad Sandarbha. And the second theme we learned, we came across the Bhagavan's potencies. So broadly speaking, there are three potent aspects of it, the potencies or the energies of the Lord. There's the internal energy, Swarupa Shakti. Again, that breaks down to the three subcategories. So Swarupa Shakti, that is internal potency, Yoga Maya, and the second is the second broad category is the external energy, which is everyone knows that is Krishna's illusory potency Maya, you know, and the third that is the intermediate, which is the marginal potency, and it is we, the living entities. So these are the three potencies, and we came across some nitty-gritty details of that, the three potencies, you know. And the third theme that we just started last week, and last week was an introductory section composed of the text 29 to 35. Incidentally, this text numbers correspond to that book by Sri Satyanarayan Prabhu, whose commentaries that I'm primarily following, but also in supporting, I'm also following the commentaries of His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj. Now, Bhanuswami Maharaj, his numbering is somewhat different than Satyanarayan Prabhu's. So Satyanarayan Prabhu's text today we are following. So first, the introductory class that we dealt last week was 29 to 35, you know, and today we are going continuing from that. So in that 29 to 35 text, which I told you, it's the introductory class, introductory class on this third theme, which is what is again the third theme, is that the Lord's spiritual body, you know, the form, Krishna. In fact, there is, in fact, his body is also a misnomer. It's not correct way, because he is non-different himself from his body. Unlike us, we have a spirit soul, and we have this physical body, the inert body made of these material elements, Panch Mahabhuta. But Krishna doesn't have any material tinge at all. His body is all spiritual, unlimited, you know, all pervading, all that different aspects that we learn in that introductory class. So in the introductory class, just to give you the idea, just to give you those, so remember there's a essence, thematic essence of the course itself. So this is the third thematic essence, which is the Lord's spiritual body, the Lord's form, and then there is a there are lessons. So today's lesson, so yes, last week's lesson was lesson number 9, and that was an introductory lesson actually. And we saw that Bhagavan's transcendental body is actually the part of his essential nature, his Swarupa Shakti, you know. And then we also, so that is the, so lesson themes, there's a course theme, then there's a, so the, and then there is individual lesson themes are there, you know. So that is the first lesson, first theme of that lesson, introductory lesson, is the Bhagavan's transcendental body is actually the part of his essential nature, you know. And then that his body is all pervading, and then his form is unlimited. His form is unlimited, and then that means it's not limited by any material elements, because his body has no material tinge at all, you know, unlike our body. And Bhagavan is both within and outside, without the universe, actually, you know. The whole universe is within him, and he is within every atom of the universe, and every living entity's heart. So that is a built-in contradictions are there, but that is the very definition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know. So that, so in all these individual themes that we saw in this introductory lessons, are each of these themes are further going to be expanded one by one in the subsequent class, you know. So today's class, we are getting more deeper into that. So now, up front, as I told you that I like to introduce this technique I learned by trial and error, actually. So last week I showed you first identify the dots and then learn how to connect the dots. So today I'm going to take you a couple steps forward. So first, you understand how Jiva Goswami, his way of introducing that. So he selects a statement from Srimad Bhagavatam. He selects a key verse, you know. So it's very, very important first to understand, in order to identify the lesson theme, you must understand the objective of Srila Jiva Goswami in that part, actually, you know. So first you must understand how to identify lesson themes, you know. And that is what I, like this first PowerPoint today's class, you just, Sanjeev Prabhu is showing right there on the screen, actually, you know. So first, if you understand the lesson theme, how to arrive that that lesson theme, and here I can give you the hint in this particular book by Satyanarayan Prabhu. It's relatively easy, because if you just take a table of contents, he gives that. Unlike the book by His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj, he doesn't give any table of contents at all. So it's a little difficult. But in this book, you can get some idea. If you don't have that table of contents, then you need to read each chapter, each text very carefully, and then pick up what is the central theme about that, you know. So once you arrive, so listen very, very carefully, because remember what I want you to draw your attention. Today's class is which lays the foundation, or it's the basis of the next very, very critically important class, next week's class. And that's what I sent you, that general announcement right today, actually, for the next week's class, that please don't try not to miss that class, you know. So to get the maximum out of that next week's class, which is the super important class, I would call it, that today's class, this class right now we are talking about, it lays the foundation for that. It is the basis for that. So I really would urge you to pay very close attention what I'm saying today. And I'll try my best to go as slow as possible. But at the same time, remember I told you that because the complexity and because the magnitude, I have so much to cover and so little time, you know. So I'm going to try to draw a fine balance between that, you know. But please, you know, at the end of the class, please, don't hesitate to clarify things you didn't understand that, you know. So again, returning back to the technique of how to lower the complexity, and not only identify the dots. So before you identify the dots, how you identify the dots, first you need to know how to identify the theme of that particular lesson, actually, you know. So here, for example, I go to the table of contents. Or you need to read very carefully that chapter, you know. And remember, a few weeks back, I shared with you this technique, the rapid, speed reading, you know. Average speed of people's speed of reading is approximately 200 words per minute. But I showed you that technique, scientific technique, that you can at least triple that speed, you know, 500 to 600 words per minute. In fact, over practice, over many years of practice, like I've done, Krishna, by Krishna's mercy, I can read 1,000 words per minute. So it helps you to maximally utilize your available time, you know. So here also same thing. So you read the chapter very carefully and understand that. So then you, from the lesson themes, you will understand what are those dots, and then connecting the dots, also you have to make sure you connect in a particular order, you know, because if you and depending upon the different orders, you can derive at a different picture, actually, you know. So here we want to arrive at the picture that Srila Jiva Goswami himself wants us to understand that, you know. So now these are the technique, and this is the technique, and you will understand as we go along, actually, you know. So this is the first PowerPoint, the lesson themes that I was just telling you. On what is the lesson today? It's lesson 10th, text 36 to 44. Again, these lesson numbers corresponding to the Satyanarayan Prabhu's book, actually. Corresponding lessons for the Bhanuswami's book is somewhat different, you know. Let me give you that Bhanuswami's, according to Bhanuswami's books, is the text number 37 to 45, you know. So we'll go by this Satyanarayan Prabhu's book, actually. So lesson 10 is text 36 to 44. And what is that lesson topics? That's unlimited forms, including unlimited forms of Bhagavan, that includes Paramatma feature also exist in one form, you know. So and that is difficult to grasp that. So that's what I want you to understand, listen very, very carefully, you know. So there are unlimited forms. When we say that, when we in that introductory class we heard previous week, the central theme was that Krishna's personal form, when we say all pervading, one form, Krishna himself is all pervading. It's not by his energy, impersonal aspect that is pervading, all pervading, but his own personal form is all pervading. So that is a very important point to remember in the mind, actually. So today we are going to expand on that, actually, no? So there are unlimited forms, including even Paramatma feature, which seems like all pervading, you know, that exists within one form, that is Swayam Bhagavan, you know. So that lesson, overall theme is broken down into three sub themes, the lesson themes. Text 36 to 37, 36 and 37 is about how Krishna's body is Advaya Brahma. Remember, we saw in the first very beginning of the class, very beginning first lesson, that we saw that the absolute truth has three aspects of it, you know. This Tattva Vadanti verse, the famous verse, which is the one of the backbone verse of the entire this Bhagavad Sandarbha, and it will continue onwards to the third module, Paramatma Sandarbha also. So this verse is very, very important verse. Tattva Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas, you know, Yat Tattvam, you know, Brahma Yeti, Paramatma Yeti, Bhagavan Yeti, Shabda Yate, you know. So there are three aspects of this absolute truth: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Brahman aspect is this Advaya Brahma. So what is the central feature of the absolute truth? That it is Advaya Brahma. Advaya Brahma means one without, Advaya means one without second. So that's very unique. And it's Advaya Jnana. Jnana means it's knowledge. But here that knowledge is consciousness. So that supreme consciousness is one without the second. So Krishna's body itself is Advaya Brahma. That is what Jiva Goswami is going to establish in these two verses, actually. And he is the ultimate cause of all causes, you know, this Sarva Karanam, you know. So that is text 36, 37. And then text 38 to 41, it expands. This unlimited forms of Bhagavan exist in one form. That is the central aim of this lesson. So that is what we see, this key text 38, 39, 40 and 41. And the remaining verses 42, 43 and 44, this all-pervading body of Krishna is imperceptible, that we cannot perceive. Is achintya. Achintya means inconceivable, you know. So imperceptible, we cannot perceive that. That is the very nature of this Paramatma feature, actually, you know. So this is how the today's lesson breaks down to this three subcategories, you know. So what Jiva Goswami does usually, he picks a verse. So here's that technique again. I'm going to keep on reminding you, and that steps, understanding that technique. And what is the technique? The purpose of that is to lower the level of complexity so that we can understand better, you know. Because when we see it's so complex, then there's a psychological fear that we are not going to understand that. And then we don't even make an attempt here, you know. So we certainly should make attempt with a firm belief, firm faith and conviction in Krishna's mercy. Only by Krishna's mercy we can understand him. We cannot understand him if he doesn't want to reveal himself. And that's why Bhagavad Gita, it is said Krishna is unknowable. So how to know one which is unknowable? only when unknowable reveals himself. So that is what Krishna's mercy that's required, you know. And that mercy we can attract by our devotional service, our unalloyed devotional service, you know. So that is what it is, you know. So Jiva Goswami selects a particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam in order to establish that particular theme that what he's talking about, you know. So we must clearly understand that verse, the key verse. And verse is very important, the Sanskrit verse. If you directly read the translation, it is not that helpful to internalize. We really have to understand the Sanskrit part of it. Hopefully even the word by word meaning of that, you know. And Sanskrit is typical. The words are composite words. Each word is made of several words. In fact, sometimes the whole sentence is one word actually, you know. So you have to learn the art of breaking down. Then the meaning becomes automatically apparent, you know. So I'll help you to understand that as I've understood it. So it's important. So now we are going few steps more ahead of that technique that I'm sharing with you, how to lower the complexity, how to identify the dots. Then only we'll be able to connect in a particular order actually, no? So first you understand what is the theme of that, what is it that Jiva Goswami is trying to establish, and what verse he picks from Srimad Bhagavatam. So you read that verse and understand that verse very carefully, and connect what the verse says word by word. So that is, those are the dots with what Jiva Goswami is trying to establish. Then you will understand the meaning actually. And as an example, just like I did previous week, here also I'm going to explain the first verse in the text 36 to give an example of it. But then I cannot do each and every verse, although I'll try my best because so much to cover, you know. But I will first explain you by giving an example with the very first verse. Understand word by word, then you identify the dots actually, then you know how to connect. Then you will understand how those each words, each dots are connected, and how Jiva Goswami uses these dots to establish that particular theme of what he is trying to establish. Okay, the next one. So please, again, I urge you to listen very, very carefully, you know. So this is 36, 37. So here you see a nice picture, you know. What is the topic of these two texts? The common theme: Krishna's body is Advaita Brahma. It is his body is the absolute truth, which is one without the second, you know. And he is the ultimate cause, you know. So let's talk about the first text, text 36. So I'll give you how does Jiva Goswami picks up particular words from Srimad Bhagavatam to make a point that he's trying to establish. So the point he's trying to establish that Krishna's body is Advaita Brahma. So he picks this verse, and in fact series of we continued before also from the last week onwards. He picks up the verses from Sri Brahmaji's prayers, and let me again repeat the briefly what happened. Brahmaji was observing here Krishna in Vrindavan. This is the Krishna's childhood pastime. He is a little boy actually, very young boy actually, maybe six seven years old boy, you know. And at that time so young, so his parents gave him the responsibility to take the calves, little baby cows, along with his cowherd boys, friends, to go and to graze these cows in the forest actually. So there he is grazing these baby cows, and he's sitting. So during the lunchtime, he sits around the corner. So Krishna in the center, all around him is his very, very close cowherd boys actually, the friends, you know. And it's lunchtime. So what to great amazement, Brahma's amazement, what he saw, because he knew that this boy is the Supreme Personality Godhead, but he had a hard time to really to understand that. How, if he is a supreme lord, how come he's eating the food taken from the mouth of ordinary coward boys? Actually, you know, usually one who is supreme god, you worship Brahmaji in the worship, awe and reverence, actually, in that kind of mood, actually, you know. So he couldn't accept the fact that here the supreme lord himself is taking the food directly from the mouth of these coward boys, actually, you know. So he began to doubt that, no, this boy, how can he be the supreme Brahma, you know. So in order to test him, so he had an audacity to test the supreme lord himself, and Krishna knew about it, actually, amazingly. So what he did, he took his coward boys and the cows and this baby cows also, that Krishna is responsible for that, he took away and hid them in a cave, actually, you know, and then wanted to see what happens now, what Krishna is going to do. If he's the supreme lord, of course, he's going to find a solution. And if he's an ordinary boy, what he expected, that he would be crying and he will be so lamenting and so morose, you know. So he hid the cows, the coward boys, and the baby cows in a little cave, actually, and then came back. So for him, it took just a few moments, actually, you know? But for the earthly years, earthly time, it's passed the whole year, actually. So what Krishna did, that he knew what Brahmaji was doing, that what Brahmaji was up to. So he actually replicated each of these boys, each of these baby cows and the cows, exact replica of that. And not only the physical form, but when their dresses, ornaments, and that little sticks they carry to graze the cows and so on, like in exact detailed duplicate replicates, he recreated them, you know. So when Brahmaji came back, for his time, it was just a few moments, but on the earth, it took all year, actually. And then what is so Krishna himself replicated. So that is a theme that we are talking about, how that one form of Krishna could replicate indefinitely all different forms. So his personal form itself got replicated exactly in exact details, actually, you know. And that's what he's going to demonstrate to Brahmaji, actually. So Brahmaji, when he returned back and he saw all these boys, cows, baby cows, all were exactly in the same way, and exactly the same way Krishna was enjoying his lunch and sharing the food directly from the boys' mouths, actually. So he was perplexed, actually. So just wanted to make sure, he went back to the caves and he wanted to make sure that Krishna he could have found from the cave and brought them back. And there he saw, to amazement, the boys and cows that he stole from Krishna were exactly there, exact same way. He couldn't even detect any difference from the those that he hid in the cave and that sitting with Krishna. I could not see at all, you know. And then in the very next moment, Krishna gave him the vision. All these boys and all the cows, all the baby cows, they were turned into Vishnu murtis, exactly in the four-handed Vishnu forms, Narayana forms. The four arms, blue complexion, with yellow dhotis, kastuba jewels, and everything, exactly Vishnu forms. The forms are carrying Shankha, Chakra, Padma, and Gada, you know, that four form. Exact Vishnu forms he found. So Vishnu murtis. So he was perplexed, you know. And then next moment, he again, that form also appeared. And he saw back again the boys exactly the way he found earlier. You know? So then he realized that he is Krishna. This little boy is non-different from the supreme Brahma, his worshipping God that he found there. Right? And he became trembling with fear that he committed terrible offense, that he took Krishna's friends and cows away from him. So here you see in this picture, he kneeled down to this little boy, 6-7 year old boy, and profusely crying and offering his prayers. So this Jiva Goswami, he takes this prayer verses, the verses go quite a few. He picks up just first 12 verses actually. So he begins with that. Already we saw earlier in the last class also, you know. So let's go to the next PowerPoint. So we'll begin with the text 36. So now remember, I told you that first we need to understand this Sanskrit verse word by word, you know. So here the first I will recite the verse. Advaya tvat, so I'm going to break up that composite words also actually, no? So advaiva, advaiva, so advaiva, that is the one without a second. Tvat, you, ritesya, riteasya, one, you without you, that means actually. Kim mama na te mayatvam adarshitam. So he is asking a rhetorical question, you know. You remember when you ask someone, you wanted to say something, but you're not directly saying that rhetorically. So, didn't you do this thing? You didn't do this thing, did you? That means you are saying that that person did something, right? And on the opposite of it, you didn't do this thing. You didn't do this thing, did you? So, that person didn't do that actually. So, here he's saying that, didn't you show me before? Adarshitam means show me, you know. Mamate, to me, kim mama, didn't you show me that your maya, you know, by which is separate from you. Now this is the verse that actually Brahmaji recalls. Remember this Chatushloki Bhagavatam verse, the very second verse Krishna told him when at the very beginning of creation, at the dawn of creation, that Brahmaji gave him this four Chatushloki Bhagavatam verse. In the second verse is that anything that you see, everything all around in the universe is nothing but me actually. Even to imagine something without me, riteshya, tvam riteshya, without me, you know, even to imagine that is maya, illusion actually. So there is no place, not even the atom that is free from me actually, says, you know. Even to imagine one without me is actually, that is my maya's influence, you know. So that is what he said that. So now he recalls that his experience. Ekosi prathamam. So first I saw you. He saw his own, he's describing his own experience. Then when I saw you first, that ekam prathamam, ekam ekam ekosi, ekosi prathamam. First I saw you alone, you know. Tato, thereafter, I saw you were with vraja surhada vatsaha samasta api. In this vraja, your vraja coward friends, you are with Surada, your very, very dear friends, and Vatsaha, these baby cows, you know, Samasta, all in the totality, I saw you first alone and then with them, and then Tavanti, and thereafter again, what I saw, Tavanti Asi, Chatur Bhujasta, Tad Akilehi, Sakam Mayo Upasitam, Maya Upasitam, you know. So tavanti aso. So in the first half verse, that this rite asya is very, very important. Rite asya means without you, what you show me through your maya, all this thing around that, you show me, you gave me this illusion that first you were all alone, you know, when I took away all your coward boys and cows and baby cows, hid them in the cave. So I saw you were all alone in the beginning. But then when I came back, what I saw back again, you were with them, with the boys back, exactly in the original same way I saw along with the cows and the cave and the baby cows, samasta in its totality, exact same duplicates, you know, replicates. And then again, what I saw, tavanti, you see, chaturbhuja, these same covered boys, including even the cows, including when the baby cows, they all become Vishnu Murtis. Exactly in Chaturbhuja, four-arm form, Narayana form, Akhile, and all the entire universe, Devas, Danava, the demigods, demons, humans, everyone, including even the, not only this universe, but entire different universes also, because in this universe, we have, each universe has one Brahma. So our universe has four-headed Brahma. Other universes like 10-headed, 100-headed, 1,000-headed, million-headed, like that, you know. So our universe is actually one of the smallest universes, actually. There are very, very big universes. So he saw all these different Brahmas also. they were all worshipping that Vishnu Murtis. And he not only found, he himself found himself in that group also, those who were worshipping right there. Just like when Krishna show his form in his own mouth to his mother, Mother Yashoda, when she wanted to make sure that he didn't eat the earth, as was being complained by the coward boys, along with his Dauji, Lord Brahma. And Krishna was saying, no, Mama, I did not eat any earth. If you want to, am I speaking the truth, or Balaram and other my coward boys are telling the truth? You should believe me, actually. If you don't believe me, just look at my, just examine my mouth and see yourself. So when Mother Yashoda saw in his mouth, he saw the entire universe. Not only she saw the entire universe in his mouth, but he saw herself right there examining the baby Krishna's mouth, actually. No? So here the same way, Brahmaji also saw in that form of these different boys and cows, those Vishnu Murtis, and they were being worshipped by the entire universe, not only this universe, but the multiple universes, including Devas, Danavas, and so on like that. And he saw himself also among those worshippers, you know. And then what he saw, Tavanti Eva, then afterwards he saw Jaganti Abhus, Tad Amitam, Brahma Advayam Shishyate. Then I realized, actually, he said that, that was all Maya. Actually, without you, so basically the purpose that here is Brahmaji saying, that this entire outside world that we see outside Krishna is actually an illusion. There is nothing outside. In fact, Brahmaji in Krishna, entire universe is actually within his own body, within Krishna. And Krishna is within that universe also, in each and every atom. And to imagine without Krishna, so it's an illusion to see the outside world devoid of Krishna, you know. That is what he's saying, that. So he is one without second, very unique. So he saw Krishna's Maya, that Maya Krishna showed him that. So here, now you can read the translation. So you see that this, I showed you the different points, different dots actually. So now you connect the dot and see what exactly what Jiva Goswami is trying to establish, that Krishna's body is Advaya Brahma. Is one without second, actually. So Brahmaji is saying, so he is asking a rhetorical question. Did you not show me today? Adya eva means right now, you know. That did you not show me today that everything in this universe? So you did show me, actually, basically he's saying that. That's the rhetorical question. Excluding yourself, rityasya. Tvat rityasya, excluding yourself. So if you exclude yourself and then what you're showing, all this, so that was an illusion, that's the influence of your Maya potency, actually. So that everything is outside of you itself, actually an illusion, you know, is of nature of Maya. Meaning that it is perceived only through the potency of Maya, actually, you know. Of course you did. So now he's saying that exactly. So didn't you show me? Yes, you, of course you did that. That's what he's saying. So in other words, due to Maya, the universe appears to be to bewilder the people. So what is the purpose of that, you know? So universe appears to bewilder people who are bewildered by your Maya. To them, this universe appears devoid of you, basically, you know. And you do appear in this human form. Right now, what I see you, this young kid form that I see of you, your entire universe is within you, within your own body, actually. And you are within the universe also, you know, micro and macro. So you see, now I showed you in detail to make a point here, how to lower the complexity, you know, that very complex things. Now you can clearly understand. So what the verse Jiva Goswami selects, how through each word of this verse is contributing to the point that Jiva Goswami is making, in that the point he is making, that Krishna's one body, that Krishna's own body, one form itself contains the multiple forms within him, actually. So just like Krishna, the body is the fountainhead of all incarnations. So all avatars comes from him. So he's called Avatari actually. All amshas, all plenary expansion comes from him. All the parts and parcels of all the incarnation expansions comes from him. So he is called Amshi. All amshas come from him. So he's called Amshi, you know. Okay. So now that you understand the technique, now it will become easier and easier if you move forward. So I've taken you a few steps ahead of you now, you know. All right. Next PowerPoint. So are you with me, everyone? Please. I hope you're listening to me now. So now to Jiva Goswami's comments here. So Jiva Goswami comments here. The idea expressed here is that since Brahma witnessed the appearance, existence and disappearance of all material world and spiritual substances occurring within this form. So same form, Krishna's form, everything is occurring actually. Yeah? It meets the criteria of this non-dual Brahman. That's absolute truth. And that is why is so A is equal to B, B is equal to C. So A must be equal to C. Absolute truth is Brahman, Advaya Brahman, right? Okay. And so he's saying that you are the absolute truth. So you must be also your body is also Advaya Brahma actually, you know. And since this form has the characteristics of Brahman, it's thus all pervasive. So that's why you're all pervasive. So same physical form, your very personal form is all pervasive. Not that your energy or your potency. See, unlike, you know, when you are prime minister, I'll give you an example of prime minister rather than president here, you know, because most of you are from India. So a prime minister has different ministers in each of the states, right? And he also has ambassadors in foreign countries to represent him. So in foreign countries, ambassador, whatever he says, whatever the policy he sets forward, is exactly the representing that particular prime minister. Even the prime minister personally is not there, but his potencies, his representation, his views, his policies are represented, but his form is not there actually. Same way domestically in different states, his chief ministers are there, you know, that he is doing something, particularly at least in his party, you know. That states that his party is ruling will represent his policy, but he personally is not there, you know. But unlike that, here Krishna's personal form is all pervading. That is the point here, not just his potencies, you know. Okay, the other thing is very important here that I already pointed out. Tvatte, that means without you, other than you, you know, signifies that everything except for Bhagavan is Maya. If you subtract yourself from it, and then what you see outside world, that is just Maya actually. Because the outside world cannot exist outside of you. It is within you only. And when it's outside, then you are within that universe also actually. So there is no place, no atom that is devoid of you. And to imagine that something devoid of you, tvat ritasya, you know, that is an illusion. Okay, then third important point here, sakam maya upasita. So there he saw that when he saw the Vishnu murtis in all these boys, cows, baby cows, they all turned into Vishnu murtis, show that Krishna himself, Krishna was demonstrating to Brahmaji that what you see, all these replicates, they are actually my own form. So Krishna's own bodily form was replicated into these different boys, exact Vishnu Rupa, you know. So that is what he said. So he saw himself also, sakam maya upasitam, like everyone else were worshipping you, I saw myself in you, was worshipping you actually. That's what he's saying that, you know. Alright, let's move on to the next one, next verse. So the next is text 37. So and now he's again, now he's going to, Jiva Goswami is going to demonstrate here, what he's going to demonstrate here, establish here, that Krishna is the ultimate cause, you know. So here he's going to pick this particular verse, you know. So here Krishna might ask a question to Brahmaji, you know, that you are saying that, so yourself, Vishnu and Shiva. So now he's talking about expansions of Krishna. Okay, Brahmaji is talking about that. Expansion first, the guna avatars for the purpose of creation is Brahmaji, for the maintenance is Vishnu, and for dissolution or annihilation is Lord Shiva. That is the common people's common understanding, is right? But that itself is an illusion, actually. That's what he's saying. Brahmaji is saying that even the guna avatars, those who are ignorant, they think that I am creating and your own Vishnu form is maintaining and Lord Shiva is the one who is destroying. But that's not a reality, actually. These are also your own form is expanded in all three of us, actually, you know. That's what he's saying. And then the following verse, he's going to show the other expansions, you know, Leela avatars, you know. So first he's talking about the Guna avatars. So again, so here Krishna might ask that question, you know, that yourself, that's Brahma, you Brahmaji, and Vishnu, myself, actually, my expansion, and Lord Shiva are all supposed to be to cause, because it's the common misunderstanding that those who are not knowledgeable enough, they think that you create, you are creating the universe, you know, and you are and I am, my other form is maintaining, and Lord Shiva is dissolving this universe, respectively. And all other expansions appeared during the maintenance period as well. So why do you think that I alone is the cause? That's what he's saying, that verse 36, right? 36, we heard about it. Brahmaji is saying that it's your own form is actually there, actually, behind all other expansions, all pervading, you know. So how do you say that? Because you see me, like in that picture, I'm just an innocent little boy, actually, 6-7-year-old boy, actually. I am the son of Mata Yashoda and Nanda Baba. How do you say that? So in order to respond that, Brahmaji is saying this verse now. In his prayers, is continuing that, okay? This is the 19th verse, actually, in that prayers. 14th chapter, 10th canto. So again, we'll break down that verse, okay? Ajanatam, tvat padvim. So see that this composite word? So let's break it down. So ajananta means those who are ignorant, who are not aware of Krishna's supreme position. Tvat, what they are unaware of that? Tvat means your, Brahmaji is saying. Tvat padvim means position, actually, you know, that your own real position. Actually, pada also means path, through only devotional service Krishna can be understood, actually. So he said that those ignorant people, those who are unaware of reality, they think that your position, padvim anatmana. Now here, anatmani means the maya, actually, because that is inert, without atma, without soul, actually. Anatmani, atma, atmana, atmana, you know. So see that anatmani, atma, atmana, three. Anatma means the material nature, the inert material nature, actually is a pradhana. Remember I told you during creation, pradhana, in which the three modes of material nature are equilibrium. That means they are dormant, they are stable, they are not active. It's Lord Vishnu's glance, Mahavishnu's glance, which he throws, and his glance composed, of the living entity that he's introducing into the material nature, which is this pradhana, through his own expansion paramatma feature, and thereby the time potency that activates the three modes of material nature within pradhana. So pradhana becomes then mahatattva with the time potency. So now this beginning and end, right there it is introduced, right there, you know. So then the three modes of material nature becomes active and the process of creation continues, and mahatattva develops. And then mahatattva expressed in the three modes of material nature, and all the senses, the minds, and all the basic ingredients, pancha mahabhuta, all these things are created, you know. So that's detail of it, you know. So those who are unaware of your position, your true position, tat padvim, this anatmana, this pradhana, this inert material nature, atma, the myself, and then atmana, my expansions, Bhasi. So you see the word Bhasi is very important here. Bhasi means appears like that, you know. It appears like that I am, that these three, you yourself are the creator, Brahmaji, and Vishnu form is maintaining, and the Lord Shiva is destroying. They are the responsible, my guna avatars, they are the one who doing that. That is what it appears like that, but in reality it's not like that. This appears like to them, to those who ajanata, who are unaware, who are ignorant of the true knowledge of me, my body actually. Vitatya mayam, vitatya means expanding, you know, due to the maya's influence. That is why, because of the maya's influence, those unaware people, they think that these three guna avatars are the primary beings, those who are doing this creation, maintenance and dissolution. Actually what Brahmaji is saying, that it is Krishna himself is doing that. So Krishna's own form is triplicated in these three forms, you know. Okay, then Shrishtava, again I'm breaking down, Shrishtava Avaham, you know, Shrishtava Ivaham, you know, Ivaham Jagato Vidhan, you know, Eva Tvam Esho Anta Eva Tri Netra. So he's talking about that, you know, that the Brahmaji, Brahma form, Vishnu form, Lord Shiva form, Tri Netra, the three eye form of Lord Shiva. They are the one who is creating this universe, maintaining and dissolving, you know, that is under the influence of Maya actually. So here the full translation. So now you understand the word by word meaning. So here again, Jiva Goswami's purpose is to demonstrate that Krishna is the ultimate cause. So apparently those who are unaware, they think that Brahmaji, Vishnu and Lord Shiva are the one doing creation, maintenance, but that's not the reality. It's the Krishna's own form is replicated, triplicated there actually, exact way, you know. That is the reality actually, you know. So you are the Supreme Soul, Brahmaji is saying. You are the ultimate cause. To those unaware of your true position, you yourself expand your maya and appear within this inert matter, this pradhana, as me, Brahma, for the creation. Brahmaji is in reality, he is the secondary creator, not the primary. Mahavishnu himself creates the basic ingredients. Three modes of material nature, you know, all the basic ingredients, senses, minds, all this like that, you know. He is the one created. And then Brahmaji makes use of his secondary creation by his own. Krishna provides him even the blueprint also by this Virat Rupa form, you know, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu form, you know, the expansion of that is Virat Rupa, universal form. So he showed him the blueprint, as well as Krishna himself created Brahmaji. Brahmaji is the creation of Krishna, you know, from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Brahmaji is created, right? So those ignorant people, they don't understand that actually. So those who are unaware of your true position, you yourselves expand your maya and appear within inert matter. So as super soul, he enters with the time potency, you know. And that's the one which activates the three modes of material nature in pradhana. As me, Brahma, for the creation, as Vishnu for the maintenance, and as three-eyed, three-netra, that is Lord Shiva, to annihilate the universe. So see, so they are not the directly they are doing actually. They are Krishna's expansions, guna avataras. Okay? So now we'll see the other expansions, Leela avataras. Okay? So here Jiva Goswami explains in this verse what I just already explained to you. Meaning of various words, the verse, to whom unaware, ajanata means those who are unaware, those ignorant people of your true position, tat padvim. As we have been describing, Atma, the original complete form of God, that is Krishna himself, Swayam Bhagavan, who is the source, Amshi, of all personal expansions, manifested or partial manifestations. You alone are the Supreme Self. You yourself, Atmana, through your different partial manifestation, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, within the non-self, Anatmani. Anatmani means that pradhana, material nature, which doesn't have a soul, that's an inert material nature. So within that inert pradhana, which acts as material cause in the form of mahatattva, that's what develops. The difference between pradhana and mahatattva, in pradhana, the three modes of material nature are silent, dormant, in equilibrium. It needs to be activated when the living entities are injected in it. through the time potency, that is the one which activates the three modes of material nature. So right there, beginning and end is established right there, you know. Okay, vitatya. Vitatya means that is which expands, you know, set in the motion. So he is the, you are the one who set in motion this pradhana into mahatattva. You set the motion, in motion, these three modes of material nature, and the process of creation is brought about, in, you know. So your guna avatars are being the manifestors of Krishna. Krishna's personal body is replicated right there, just like he replicated himself into these different boys, and he showed that it is own replication by showing them as Vishnu Murtis. Okay, I hope you're listening very, very attentively, you know. Then you will understand. If you miss my word, single word, you'll get lost. So please listen very, very carefully, you know. So now he explains the other avatars, lila avatars, okay, in the next verse. Let's continue, please. Okay, so now text 38, 40. So now you see, you learn the technique. You must understand the Sanskrit verse, word by word, meaning. Okay, then you will understand. So those are the dots. So you look for the dots and how the dots are connected to make a point that Jiva Goswami is establishing that. All right. So text 38. So now various incarnation of Bhagavan. So now we are going to move a little faster. All right. Now that you understand, you are with me, I hope, you know. So just as these three guna avatars, the other expansions as well, this is to really dispel those atheistic peoples, you know, their atheistic teachings, and establish religious spirit. So what is the purpose? Why is Krishna doing? Just like in Bhagavad Gita, he says that, you know, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata, srujami aham, you know. So he said, I appear in every millennium, you know. And why does he do that? What is the purpose? That's what exactly what he's saying here. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So there are three purposes, right? First, vinashaya cha duskritam, to destroy, to annihilate those duskritam, those demons, those who are harassing his devotees. And the second one, vinashaya cha duskritam, and the second one, paritranaya sadhunam. So paritranaya sadhunam comes the first, the principal reason why he comes actually. He comes primarily to deliver his own devotees actually, you know. Paritranaya sadhunam. And then comes vinashaya. So those who are harassing his devotees, to annihilate them, vinashaya cha duskritam. And then third reason, then re-establish the religious principle. Because those demons had destroyed those religious principles, you know. So that is what he's doing, that by expanding himself, he's doing that thing. So now this is the point he's going to show that, and now he's going to show why this pick this verse in his Brahmaji's prayers, continuing the text 20 actually. Sureshva Rishi. So now I'm breaking down that composite word. Suresh means all the demigods, you know. Sureshva Rishi, all the sages. And Isha, Bhagavan, you know. So that means you are appearing in different expansions. In demigods you come as Vamandeva, like one example. Then and among the rishis, among the sages, you appear like Nar Narayan Rishi, this Krishna expansion. Then even you come in the human form also actually. Human form is like Prithu Maharaj, you know, and so on like this. And then animal forms, like boar incarnation, you know, Varaha Avatara, then Kurma Avatara, and then aquatics, this Batsya Avatara, fish incarnation, so on like that. So you appear in so many different species just to make a point, depending upon the need for that reason, for that, you know. And then Tathaiva Na Ashra Nishra, that means in the human form, Nara form, you know. Tiryakshu Yadha Swapi the Ajanasya, even though you are unborn, Ajanasya means those who do not take birth. So you appear to take birth even though you are unborn. So Krishna is never said that he is born. He appears and he disappears. He manifests himself and he unmanifests himself actually. You know, that's what The meaning here, Brahmaji is saying that. So you are unborn, even though you appear to take birth into demigods forms, demigod species, into sages, into the you know, these different animal forms, into human forms, and so on like that, aquatics and so on like that. And what is the purpose for what you are doing that? Janma satam durmad anigra durmad nigraya, to really liberate the sadhus, your devotees, actually. That's the primary purpose, actually, no? And to annihilate those demons, to re-establish religious principle, actually. Prabhu vidhata sad anugrahaicha, by your mercy you come there. Okay, so now you see that's the breakdown. So now let's read the full translation. O controller of our destiny, though you are unborn, you take birth amongst the gods, the sages, as well as humans, animals, and even among aquatics, to chastise the falsely proud, that's demons actually, and to show mercy to the world, anugrahaya, you know. Okay, so now you understand the point, you understand the technique, you get the hang of the technique now. So that, see, now it's no more complex, that complex. You understand that now, you know. Haribol, next week, next PowerPoint. So when you understand, you really relish the nectar, you know, as I relish this nectar. Only when you understand, then you will really enjoy that, you know, and then you will really begin to appreciate the fantastic knowledge of Jiva Goswami and his skills, and how deep insight, deep realizations he has, that, you know. That is what you will give a point. Remember, at the time Jiva Goswami appeared in the 16th century, actually, there were no computers, nothing like that. He had no, they had no houses. They were living in underneath the trees, actually, one tree at a time, you know. So and still he shows how deep knowledge about shastras, all this he had. Where did he learn? So obviously he knew verse by verse of all the major shastras, actually, you know. Upanishad and so on, like the Puranas and so on like that. So Brahma spoke these words in response to a possible question. How can the Lord, who is beyond sense perception, Adhokshaja, be known? How to know one who is beyond sense perception? Only by his mercy, actually, no? So that this explains that just as the Lord appears as Guna Avatara, this quality expansions, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, he appears as other avatars also exactly the same way. Different pastime avatars, lila avatars, to mainly to dispel, to punish those atheistic teachings of those people, you know, and establish, re-establish religious principles. Dharma samsthapana arthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So he appears in different species of life according to necessity and kills the demons who propagate this atheism. So how can Bhagwan take birth who is unborn? So Lord has inconceivable power, you know, and can accomplish what is ordinarily impossible. Since he is all-pervading, there is no question of his birth. So someone who is everywhere all the time at the same time, everywhere, you know, how he could be born at one place? Obviously, it doesn't make sense, right? He's everywhere, you know. So there is no question of his birth, which rather means making himself visible. So that's what he does. He just allows himself to be seen, actually. You know? Actually, that's the point that we are going to address in the next class, next week's class, the most important class, actually. You know? So he's not bound. So when he comes, actually, he's not bound by material laws. So he's beyond time and space. And that is what makes us really very, very difficult to comprehend. That's why it's called inconceivable, you know, achintya, you know, simultaneous, one form and different expansions, you know. And that's why he's addressed as vidhataha, which means that he makes the rules, but not subject to them. So these rules do not apply to him. These laws of material nature, time and space, do not apply to him, you know. So this material logic doesn't apply to him, you know. That's what the point Brahmaji is making, actually. So my forms are Satchit Ananda, you know. So why are they not always visible? So question might come. In fact, that is the point for the next week's class also, actually, I put it in the today's announcement, actually, for next week's class. So why are they not? So it is something to think about it ahead of time, So Krishna's form is all spiritual, as I told you many times before, is all spiritual. So how can a man, how can us, living entity, with our material eyes can see only that which is material, all right? Something that is all spiritual, we cannot see, right? It just doesn't make sense, actually. It's beyond, So, and still, Krishna, by his mercy, he allows his all spiritual form to be seen by his devotees, by the dint of their devotional service. And that attracts his mercy, So that's one point. The other point, the other diametrically opposite point is what? That his all spiritual form cannot be seen, granted that, right? Or by materialized. And yet, when Krishna himself was there on this planet, everyone could see that. So that, how do you explain that? So that is what I want you to think about it during the next week, just something to think about it, something to look forward for next week's class. Okay, so my forms are eternal, full of bliss. So Krishna might be asking this question to Brahmaji now. He's just testing him, So my forms are eternal, Satchit Ananda, actually. So why are they not always visible then? Why am I not visible to everyone, Furthermore, how can all these forms exist simultaneously in one form, So my one form is simultaneously exist in multiple forms. How is it that possible? So that is actually his manifesto's yoga maya, Okay, the next one. Okay. Okay, so this is the PowerPoint number 9. So text 39 to 41. So now we are going to speed up a little bit because I want to get another very, very important point here, actually. So unlimited forms of Bhagavan exist within one form. So that is what now Jiva Goswami is going to establish in these three texts, Unlimited forms of Bhagavan exist within one form. So he is the avatari, he is the fountainhead of all the incarnations, all the expansions. He is the amshi of all the amshas, He is the origin of all the plenary parts of the parts, So his body contains everything. So Bhagavan's form is unlimited. So this is here. This is a very, very important point here. Okay, I would like you to make a special attention to this thing. Another very important point. Now that you understand the technique, I think now you'll be with me much more easier way. So please understand this. Particular verse, very, very important verse, actually. These three verse, 39, 40, 41, actually, So here, see, remember that Krishna is asking him a question here, that when you are saying that I am Satchit Ananda, then how am I not going, how not am I being seen like that, how is my one form can be expanded multiply and simultaneously in multiple forms, so here, in anticipation of that, so the following four questions Brahmaji speaks, actually, that is in now, his prayer continues, 21st verse now. So in his form as Krishna is all pervading. So these are the four questions, all right? Brahmaji is saying that in this verse. So his form as Krishna is all pervading. Then where do other forms exist? So what Krishna is saying, so Brahma is saying, this Krishna is right there. So where is Rama form, Lord Ramachandra form, his Nrisimha avatara form, his Varaha avatara, where are they now? Because they are, all forms are eternal. They are existing all the time. So where are they then? Why you don't see them, So that's one question. Then second, if the Lord is unborn, Ajanasya, meaning eternal, how is that they are seen to take birth? Third question, upon witnessing Bhagavan's opulence, meaning the Lord is limited. So you say that I have this and this power, at that point, even though it is incredibly great power I have, But just by thinking like that, it makes him limited. But yet you are saying, I'm unlimited. Do you see the point here? So even when you say that, oh, Krishna is so-and-so great thing, he has this thing, but that itself, that statement, you are limiting Krishna himself by that. So how can you claim that I am unlimited? So explain that, you know. So, and then fourth point, Krishna expanded himself to cover boys and calves and so on. Where do they exist now? While Brahma is seeing only Krishna, you know. So that's point he's asking that, you know. So Sridhar Swami poses additional question here. If the Lord is supremely powerful and independent, so a bigness Swarat, you know, Swarat means he's independent, supremely independent. He is the cause of all causes. So why does he accept these abominable forms, fish forms, Varaha Avatara and so on like that, you know, like a fish and boar incarnation and so on like that. Next PowerPoint. So here, this is a very, very important verse actually. And this is the foundation, the basis for the super important class next week. So please pay very, very close attention in applying the technique I just showed you. It will be easier for you to understand also now, you know. Now you should be able to understand that. So be with me, very, very closely observe what I'm saying that, and you will get the point here, you know. So let's first the verse. Kovetti, who knows? Kovetti means who knows? Bhuman, Bhagavan, Paratman, Yogeshwara. So these four forms by which Brahmaji addresses him. O Krishna, the Bhuman, the great, all-pervading form, you know. Bhagavan, the all-powerful. When the Parashara Muni's definition we covered in previous classes, Bhagavan is the one who is the possessor. Vana means possessor. Who is the possessor of six opulences, you know, unlimited, you know, the six forms, you know, six kinds of opulences. So he is very, very powerful. He knows, he contains everything, you know, all the opulence. Then Paratmana. Paratma means super soul expansion, you know. And Yogeshwara, you are the Ishwara, the you have the immense power, yogic power actually. Yogam Aishwaryam, in Bhagavad Gita it is said that, you know, Pashyam Yogam Aishwaryam, he says to Arjuna. So this great, great yogic power he has, Yogeshwari, he's the Ishwara, the controller of all the yogic powers, you know. Uti, Yogeshwara Uti, Tiro Uti, Uti means the activities, my pastimes, you know. Bhavati, Bhavatis, that happens. Bhavatis, Trilokyam, on the three worlds, upper planetary system, middle planetary system, and the lower planetary system, you know. So he addresses the four way, but there's a reason behind that, why he's addressing the four ways, because they are the one which is going to answer the four ways he's going to ask the question. Kwa means where, Va means or. Kwa, where, or, katham, how, or kati, you know, how many, you know, kati, and kada eti, kadam, when actually. So four ways he's asking: where, how many, kadam, when, and then when, you know. Vistarayan kridasi yoga mayam, the way I expand myself and my past and my actions by my yoga maya, you know. So word by word that I give you the translation, all right? So what he's saying, so this answer to this four questions is the common answer actually, no? That no one really knows where Krishna will appear, which particular expansion he will appear in, where he will appear, no one knows that, you know. How he will appear, no one knows, you know. In how many forms or how much, that no one knows. And when he will appear, no one knows that. So why no one knows? Reason, the answer to those reason is hidden in a hidden way in the four different epithets that he is addressing the Lord actually. ओ भूमन, ओ भगवान, ओ परात्मा, ओ परमात्मा, ओ योगेश्वरम, यू नो, द फोर वेज इज एंसरिंग. देयर इज वेयर द की लाइज, द एंसर टू दोस की लाइज, व्हाई नो वन नोज दैट, यू नो. सो वी विल सी हाउ इट इज, यू नो. सो ओ ग्रेटेस्ट वन, भूमन, द ग्रेटेस्ट वन, ऑल परवेडिंग फॉर्म, ओ सुप्रीम पर्सन, यू नो, भगवान, एंड ओ सेल्फ ऑफ ऑल सेल्फ, परात्मा, सुपर सोल, ओ मैस्टर ऑफ ऑल योगिक पावर, योगेश्वर, हु नोज वेयर और हाउ और टू वॉट एक्सटेंट, कति, दैट इज, यू नो, एंड टू वॉट एक्सटेंट और वेन, कदा, यू एक्सपेंड योर योग माया पोटेंसी एंड इनेक्ट योर एक्टिविटीज विद इन दिस थ्री वर्ल्ड्स. सो दैट इज वॉट ब्रह्मा जी इज सेइंग दैट, यू नो. सो नाउ यू सी दैट जीव गोस्वामी इज एक्सप्लेन टू अस दैट नो वन एक्चुअली द एंसर इज गिव्स अप फ्रंट. No one knows really. No one can say where and when and how Krishna will appear or in how many forms will appear. No one knows that. And why no one knows? That answer is also given in the four ways is addressed in the Lord actually, you know. And how it is that address, that is what I am showing you here now. Okay. Next PowerPoint. Very, very interesting. Really, very, very. It's so incredible. You can't help but admire Srila Jiva Goswami here, you know. So the text 40 actually, the unlimited forms of Bhagavan exist in within one form. That is the point that Jiva Goswami is establishing by this verse, choosing this verse. So Brahmaji has posted four rhetorical questions. Remember, just like that. Didn't you do this thing? You did this thing, did you? Didn't you? Like that, you know. So that's a rhetorical way of saying actually, you know. Not directly saying. So Brahmaji posed four rhetorical ways. Kwa, where, katam, how, kati, when, how many forms, you know. And kadeti, when actually. Kada, kada, kada means when. Or where, how many, how much, or when respectively. In the verse he spoke, this particular 21st verse of his prayers, the answer to each of these is that no one can know. The Lord, no one can know the Lord actually. Additionally, the answers lies in the four names Brahmaji is addressing by which, you know, like Bhuman. Bhuman means all pervading, the one who maintains unlimited forms within himself. That is Bhuman. Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the possessor of six opulences, inconceivable opulences, unlimited. Paratmana. Paratmana means one who has unlimited qualities and enacts unlimited pastimes, this Paramatma feature, you know. And Yogeshwara, the Lord who is the master of his internal potency and one who is not limited by time. So now we'll see how it is connected with that. Okay. So the answers to this four ways he's asking question lies, no one knows, but what are the reason why no one knows is right hidden in these four ways that Brahmaji is addressing him. Haribol, next one. So here, Brahmaji himself provides the answers to the four rhetorical questions through the use of these four epithets. The essence is that all of the Bhagavan's forms exist simultaneously within his one form. That is the point that Jiva Goswami is establishing here. Kua, where does the Lord manifest in a particular form? It depends on his devotees. Because being all pervading, that Bhuman, the way he's dressing, because he's all pervading, he's everywhere. So there is no question of where he will appear. You know? He can manifest any form anywhere. That's the point here. Then katam, how does he manifest these forms? Again, no one knows. Why no one knows? Because he is inconceivable. Because of course he has all opulences. Bhagavan, because of his great opulence, you know, six kinds of opulence that covers everything. You know, that's why. That's how he does that. Actually, look at that. How does he lift when he was just a 7-year-old boy? He lifted because the Lord Indra was testing his powers actually. So he had this incessant rain falling on Vraja. He wanted to submerge entire Vraja, you know, in his anger because Krishna stopped worshipping of him by the Vrajavasis. So now what Krishna did, that he lifted this Govardhan hill So in order to lift a Govardhan, in lift a hill, obviously that person has to go below that, right? So that 6-year, 7-year-old boy had to go below that. And when he approached that hill, obviously he wanted to, he also, you know, left the hill intact. Because when you lift something, it'll disintegrate. He didn't let that happen. Entire hill he lifted from, so he uprooted from the ground. And every civil engineer knows that, you know, you have to uphold something of that heavy, that huge thing. You need several pillars, right? But here is only one pillar. That is his, again, what is that? His pillar is this small finger in the hand. This touchly angle. So this small finger, and that was the tip of the finger, the nail. And it, he held it just on that for 7 days and seven nights. And the rain is continuously falling, and that hill remains like that golden hill. So that is what, how he does he do that? And that is exactly because of his incredible, his six opulences, Bhagavan. He is the Bhagavan, you know. And Kati, how many forms? There's unlimited expansions. No one knows that. Because why? He is Paramatma. He is Super Soul. He is unlimited qualities. And performs unlimited acts simultaneously. Because he's everywhere at the same time. Simultaneously, no? Then Kadeti, when does he appear? You can tell that even either, you know. When does the Lord manifest a particular form? Again, no one knows that. Because he's not limited by time. He's beyond time and space, you know. So that, so see that, now you see that in all different four ways he's addressing the Lord, is providing the answer right there. He himself is providing the answer actually. So because he is Yogeshwara, he is the possessor of this yogic power, the controller of that, you know. So there is, for him is no wonder actually, no? Okay. So now you got that? So these are the points that you remember when we talk about the next class. So this is the foundation, this is the very basis actually, you know. Next PowerPoint, Prabhuji. Now we'll have to move faster. Okay, I will explain this. Now there's analogies are there. Let's move on next. Please skip this one. Next one. Okay. So Lord's body contains everything now. So Brahma concludes his prayers. Now this verse. 22nd verse. Tasmad idam jagad ashesham asat swarupam sapnambham astadhishanam. So I'm breaking down this complex words, okay? Paradukha dukham tvayi eva nitya sukha bodhata anante mayat udayat api yat sad eva bhava bhati, you know. So here the word. So tasma, this material world, tasma idam jagata, that is ashesham, that is unreal. You know, that is it's seeming like unreal actually, you know. And that asada, not eternal, you know. Sata means eternal, asada means opposite of that. And that is the swarup, that is the natural form of this jagata, in this world. And it is like dreamlike, swapnabhams. It is like a dreamlike. So dreams are not reality. That's what you see in the dream, you know. So this material world is also like that, actually. And astadhishanam, that covers our intelligence, covers our true knowledge, covers our true form, you know. This maya covers us. That's what we saw in that second theme. Remember that this maya, there through, functionally speaking, this maya is two kinds, actually. There's a jiva maya. So what this maya does, the jiva, living entities, Swarupa, he changes that. He makes him ignorant, makes him forgetful of his true nature. That he is this pure spirit soul. Now he thinks that under this ignorance, he thinks that this body is himself, you know, misidentifies himself. And then Gunamaya then provides him this body is made of the three modes of material nature, you know. So it's like that example that I gave you, that, you know, a person goes to a bar, you know, so he gets intoxicated. So when you get intoxicated, he cannot use his intelligence, what is right, what is wrong. And then So that is not complete in itself to bewilder him. So now what happens? He sees this very beautiful young lady here, young girl, very, very intoxicating beauty actually. And she comes, and because of he has lost the intelligence to figure out what is right and wrong, he becomes attracted to her actually. And she, of course, robs him all the money and everything. So that is what it is like that. So first Maya does internally, he makes us forget about who we are truly, you know. He takes away our intelligence. And second thing, he provides this material body, guna, made of these three gunas. And then we completely becomes bewildered. We become disillusioned, actually, you know. So that is what it does here, you know. So that is the true form of this Jagata. And it is designed, paradukha dukkham. This is limitless dukkha, absolute misery, is the very nature of this material world. This material is designed to give difficulties to us, you know. But under illusion, we think that is great. We are happy, you know. We are in search of this happiness. But true happiness, lasting happiness, is not there in this material world. Paradukha dukkham. Then tvayev, but on the opposite, in contrast of this material world, who you are, tvayi eva nitya sukha, you are unlimited eternal happiness, bliss actually. Sukha bodha, intelligence, you know. Tanva means your body. Ananta, unlimited. Mayat udyapi yat sada eva bhava bhati. So here what he's saying, that is only Uday means rising, that, you know, this, the Maya, through Maya, you rise this kind of material world actually. From you, it appears that. Sada eva bhava bhati, you know. So therefore, this entire universe, which is insubstantial, like a dream, which covers consciousness, which is full of abandon and endless misery. So you see, now the sharp contrast Brahmaji is drawing, this material world, it's the illusion of Maya actually, in which you think, because of your intelligence loss, you think that's devoid of Krishna, devoid of God, you know, and it is meant for my enjoyment, but there is no real enjoyment. It's paradukha dukkham. It's absolute misery is there in this material world, you know, and that arises, uday, that arises out of your Maya's potency, your illusory potency, and that Brahmaji is saying that, and still appears. So because of Maya, This person who lost his intelligence because of Maya, he thinks that this material world is real. He thinks, so even though it is unreal, he thinks it is real actually, you know. It appears real because it is situated in you, and who are unlimited and possesses a body that is eternal, full of bliss and consciousness, you know. So your body is Satchit Ananda. And there is complete opposite, material world is Asata, you know. And without knowledge, totally devoid of knowledge, you know. And bliss, instead of bliss, it is complete unhappiness, miseries. So Jiva Goswami explains that because of its inconceivable power, the ever-changing material world has the appearance of being eternal. Hence the verse begins with the word tasmat, thereafter, you know. Therefore. Next one, Prabhuji. I'm sorry, the time we are running out. But it's just a few words. So, okay, I've already explained that this sharp contrast in this PowerPoint. Let's keep that. Okay, so now this final 2-3 verse, that's also very simple actually. So now the most important part, we already covered that, you know. So 42, 43, 44 actually. So now Jiva Goswami is establishing all pervading body of Krishna is imperceptible nature as Paramatma feature, you know. So here Brahmaji, here the Jiva Goswami is giving the example, this pastime of Krishna marrying the 16,000 queens simultaneously at the same time actually, you know. So that verse is Chitram Bhate. So here's Narad Muni's amazement. Narad Muni actually saw in this Dwaraka actually. So Narad Muni is speaking this verse. Chitram Bhate Eite Ekena. So just picture this thing with great amazement, he said. But Ekenas, by yourself alone, you know, Vapusha, your body, Vapusha, Yuga Patya Prathaka, is multiplied. How many? Dvi Ashta Sahastra. Ashta means eight, Sahastra means thousand. So this 8,000 twice, dvi means twice. Twice of 8,000 means 16,000. So you, your own original form is replicated exact way in 16,000 forms. And you married this 16,000 girls at the same time in 16,000 palaces. For what reason? Ek udavahat. For marrying reason. You marrying this 16,000 princesses at the same time, actually. And that is amazing, actually. Next one, please, Prabhuji. So if you don't mind, I may take some 5 minutes extra, all right? And I'll take the questions next week. So, okay, so I already explained this thing. Because of this yogic power, this, he exactly duplicated that thing. So what are these expansions, actually? So you could have produced 32,000 hands like the Virata form and accepted 16,000 wives and 16,000 houses simultaneously. So he had a suitable form for each woman, you know. So all these forms of Bhagwan are his original form, Swayam Rupa. So it's called Swayam Prakasha forms, you know. Technically, it's called Prakasha forms, a manifestation. So they are not like his Narayana expansions or Balaram expansion. Balaram expansions is actually called Vaibhava Prakasham, you know, unlike So Prakasha. And we, the living entities, are Vibhinna, you know. So Narayana expansion, Brahma. So actually there is no difference between Krishna and Balarama. And yet there is difference, as you know, that Lord Balarama's thinking is exactly opposite to what Krishna thinks. Lord Balarama, he liked our Kauravas. He liked Duryodhana very much, actually. He was partial to him. Because Krishna knew Duryodhana was an evil person and so on like that. So they are both same, one and the same, and yet there is different. But what we, here we are talking about the expand, exact duplication, exact replication of himself, Swayam Prakasha. So that is what it is, you know. So there is a fundamental difference. That was the question actually Sharad Prabhu was also asking me, you know. So this was Narad Muni's amazement that he was himself a great master of yogic power. That's why he did that. Now certain yogis can do that, actually. It's called Kaya Vyuha. They can multiply their bodily forms, actually, you know. Like that, one good example is that, you know, that great Muni, actually, you know, I forgot his name, when he wanted to marry these 50 queens of Mandanta, King Mandanta, you know, and he was a very old man, actually. So in order to attract those 50 queens, 50 princesses, he multiplied his body 50 times, actually. So that is possible. And remember, Narada Muni himself is a great Siddha Purusha, you know. He himself knows yoga power. But here what Krishna did is really incredible. It was not Kaya Vyuha. He did not multiply like that bodily form. He actually himself, Swayam Prakasha, expands exact duplication 16,000 times. At the same time in different palaces he married exactly at the same time simultaneously. No? So Prakasha manifestations are identical to Krishna's Swayam Rupa. His expansion, so it's exactly the way how even in this Rasa Leela, he multiplied himself. That many forms that he danced with the gopis, actually. So these are the examples of Prakasha expansions. Next one. So Krishna is Paramatma, you know. So Jiva Goswami continues to explain Narada Muni's observation of Krishna's household life in Dwarka. He saw Krishna as the same person in different palaces performing different activities all at the same time. You know, then in different activities also he saw at the same time. One palace he was playing a dice with Uddhava, some place he was playing with his kids, some place he was, you know, passing time with his queens and so on. That same Krishna in different palaces, exactly the same time, Dwarka, that Narada Muni was witnessed that, you know. So this is the verse. I'll now straightway read the translation. So in this way, it is said that Devarshi Narada saw the same Krishna present in every palace, executing the eternal religious duties of a grihastha duties, you know, grihastha form. So that was amazing. Next one, Parvati. So now he's recalling Bhishma Dev now. That was when Bhishma Dev was, remember, at the he was about to die that. So Krishna came to visit him, Krishna along with the Pandavas. So now Bhishma Dev is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj that this form that you see is the same form that is present as you, as as Paramatma in everyone's heart, that I see that. And before, under the illusion of Maya duality, I saw different things. But now I know, now he's removed my this duality, my Maya's influence. Now I could see he's the same form multiplied in different ways, actually, in everyone's heart, actually, saying that, you know. And Bhishmadeva is one of the 12 Mahajanas, actually, who explains us Bhagavad Dharma. So he is the expert in the authority on that. Next one. So Jiva Goswami is here explains that Bhishmadeva's vision in two ways. First, since the spiritual rule of interpretation asserts that subsequent expressions are superior to previous ones. So first he thought this is the way, but now after being enlightened by Krishna personally being present, so he saw the real thing. So what he says that, so now he understood that Paramatma and Krishna are one and the same. So he actually saw Krishna and not Paramatma in the heart of every living entity, actually. That's what he saw that, you know. So that's a very important point. Now Paramatma, we are going to learn more and more deeper about it. This is just an introduction of that. So one should not misinterpret as referring to formless, undifferentiated Brahman here, actually, no? It's the Krishna's own bodily expansions in that. Next one, pardon. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm very sorry. Okay, so that's this. So this last three PowerPoints that you saw, that's very simple to explain, you know. So main major points, we already covered that, you know. So here, to summarize here, what we saw that Brahmaji, through his prayers, is saying that first he showed that all the things, the material world that you see, if you see other than you, this Jagata, then that's an illusion. Because entire world, this universe, is within Krishna, his own body. And Krishna is within the universe. So he is, even to see a universe without Krishna, that's an illusion, actually. And under that illusion, those ignorant people think that guna avataras and expansions are separate from him. But no, they are the same. Krishna Swayam Rupa, that is his own bodily form, personal form, is all pervading, expanding that. And that the most important verse that that we discussed about the four ways, they are asking how, these four ways asking qua, where, you know, katam, how, you know, and how many, and kadak, when this Krishna will appear, where he will appear, and how many forms he will appear, no one knows. And how, why that is, no one knows. The reason is answered the way he addresses the four ways. So because he is Bhuman, He is the most powerful personality, all-pervading personality. So no one can know where he'll appear. He can appear anywhere, anytime, you know. Yeah. And then how many, because of his Bhagavan, possessed of six opulences, you know. And Kada, you know, that is Yogeshwar, yogic power, that is, you know. So this is the way he explained that. So very important, the elements that Jiva Goswami established here, that his body, Sarupa, his body is all-pervading, unlimited, you know, and he's the great master of the yogic power, actually. So I'll stop here and very quickly see if there are some questions I can answer. If you take just a few minutes extra, I'll take that. Hari Bol. Otherwise, I'll take the question next time. Okay, I think it's better we... okay, there's one question. Yes, Sarath Mishra Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhuji. My questions have been answered. Wonderful. Thank you, Sarath Mishra. When Krishna is one without second, how he manifests himself in thousands of Prabhava Prakasha? It's a Swayam Prakasha forms, actually. Manifested in different bodies, equal in features. That is his yoga. That's what we just saw that. Because of Yoga Maheshwaram, is Bhagavan. These four ways he's addressed here. Bhuman, he's all-pervading. He is Paramatma, and so these four ways it explains. This is how it is explained, that, you know. Okay, that's right there. Prabhuji is showing that very quickly, you know. That's the answer to your question. Any other question? Quickly. Okay, I think the time is up. So I think I would like to start on time and finish on time. even though we had a couple minutes more we took today. But please, as usual, always, you feel free to write to me and I will answer your questions, okay? And we will discuss in next week class. And then we'll also share the answers to those questions and the write-up that, you know, this Mataji is helping us. So I'll stop here and request Dishana to conclude the class. And again, I thank you everyone for your time and patience. And I hope you learned something, this technique that I was telling you about, how to simplify, how to lower the complexity, so you can really understand how Jiva Goswami is establishing different facts, you know, for us actually, using these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. Okay, beta, Tishana, are you ready now? Please. Thank you. Hari Bol.
Namaste Narasimhaya.